Hey, bad movie lovers. It's me, your host, Nick Scheist. And I wanted to let you know about our new partnership with Artist Bookkeeping. As a podcaster and producer, I'm focused on developing a good show for you and getting the show out to more listeners. But behind the scenes, there's a lot that goes into running and maintaining a podcast network. Between hosting fees, equipment, studio rentals, website domains, security essentials, and probably a few other things I'm forgetting, there are a lot of expenses to keep track of. That's why I turn to Artist Bookkeeping for help. After a quick discovery call and free assessment, plus a look at the results together, I walked away with a full picture of my business's financial situation and a clear, flat fee quote with no long-term commitment. But most importantly, I came away with a partner I can really trust. So now I can focus on growing the show, knowing that I have someone in my corner to look at the numbers and give me fair, honest guidance. And I love that it's a real conversation, not just a report. So if you want clear numbers, predictable cash flow, and a partner you can trust, go to artistbookkeeping.com today to schedule your free consultation. That's A-R-T-I-S bookkeeping.com. Bookkeeping is an art, so choose Artist Bookkeeping.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see," and I saw. And behold, bad movie futures.
Hello, bad movie lovers, and welcome to a special preview of Bad Movie Futures, the new members-only series here at Bad Movies We Love. What you're about to hear are the first 15 minutes or so of the episode on Lee Whannell's Wolfman that I recorded with my friend Donnie from the Film Wars podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to become an official card-carrying member of the Resistance Frontlines, make sure that you check the show notes and stay tuned at the end of the preview for details on how to sign up. I hope you enjoy the preview. Donnie, welcome back to the show, my man.
Nick, thanks for having me again, man.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Glad to be here.
We had talked about this one a while ago because Wolfman had initially come out, I think it was like a January movie of 2025. And we talked about it like in springtime last year. And I'm only now getting around to the 2025 slate of bad movies for the Bad Movie Future segment. But I'm also looking back on the calendar year for the year in review for Bad Movies We Love. So I was like, it feels like a good time to sort of marry the both, because I'm going to put in the one episode and then release some of the Bad Movie Futures episodes to sort of be a supplement to that. So good timing.
It is. Yeah, I remember we were recording an episode and you had mentioned starting a series of Bad Movies Futures, like films that is in that bad movie score that you have, but maybe eventually in the future it'll be more. I was like, that's a great idea. I love it, because yes, every year there are these movies that, while they go into crapper for scores, I actually have a good time with them, and this is right there. I'm glad to finally be able to get to do this series with you, and I'm glad you got it kicked off.
Yeah, I've had it pinned. I was like, I got to find a way to do this. And so I was like, it's right there. I'm staring at it. So I didn't put it out there. I knew full well people were going to swarm on some of the other movies, but I'm glad I saved this one for this show. And so because of the ratings, that's why we're talking about it. Granted, I ran the numbers probably a little bit longer ago than, you know, today. But it wasn't that long ago, so I'm going to say it's probably close enough. It had an IMDb of 54, a Metascore of 40. So the Metascore has come up to a 50. Sorry. I was reading the wrong line. This is what happens when I'm not using the correct size. Let me highlight this, and then I will read it again. Okay, from the top. Has an IMDb score of 56, Metascore of 50. Those are both true. So I'm going to say that it's probably about the same. Rotten Tomatoes critic score of 48, audience score of 55, Letterboxd of 4.8, and a Google user's thumbs up rating of 63%, which gives us a 53.33 out of 100. So I think fairly assigned to the Bad Movie Futures segment of the show.
Right. Yeah.
Looks about the same. I see Letterboxd is 2.4. Still 62, yeah. So yeah, right about in the same neighborhood. There's been a couple where it's like, ooh, they lost like 3 or 4 tenths of a point, or maybe went up a whole point or down a whole point. Nothing's moved off of the reverse leaderboard, I'll call it. Everything is still here in the swamp with me, so more than happy to still get a chance to talk about this movie.
Yeah.
And it's the one that I saw of all of these the longest ago, because mm-hmm. it was a January movie, so I hadn't seen it since I watched it in theaters, and
Same.
So I got a chance to rewatch it again today, and we'll save the like the official rating ranking thing whatever for the mm-hmm. end, but okay. I guess like general impressions of when you first watched it. Obviously we talked about it, and yep. this came up as a movie that sort of would be in conversation as a quote unquote bad movie, but like, what's your general takeaway from this?
For me, it was, you know, I knew going into the even from the trailers, the general, I don't think people were gonna like it, and I just had that feeling arrived on it. So when I went to see it, it actually made it a little bit better. It's not a world beater movie, no, but it gave me everything I wanted in a Wolfman movie. The tone, the score, the acting, it had some fun themes to discuss and talk about. Of course, it looked good with a different cool scene, like, you know, steam rising from the trees, the deer stand was awesome. The looking down the rifle tension, this is in the beginning of the movie. I just thought that we'll get into all this stuff, but the practical effects look great to me, which if anybody knows me knows I'm an old school horror fan. The practicals, that's what I'm looking for in a horror movie. It's just I thought it was a good movie. We have this conversation all the time about how movies are discussed these days. It's either the greatest movie ever or the worst thing ever, right? And yeah. This one for me, it didn't seem like it was trying to be any of that. It was just Lee Wan Hill's take on the Wolfman, and he tried to do things differently. It's just a well-made movie. And it, you know, we don't get a lot of werewolf movies. There's very few of them, and I thought this was a good one. Comparatively to some of the others. I mean, there's some great ones out there. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure they'll come up, but yeah. I thought it was a good movie. It didn't deserve a lot of hate that it gets. I think it's scored way too low, and I've seen it twice now. Just like I watched it when it came out in theaters, and I watched it again preparing for this, and I had a great time both times, and I would love to watch it again. I should have it in my queue to order it, you know, the 4K version of it. It's a movie that I will rewatch. It's just a well-made movie. I don't get the vitriol sometimes of some of these movies like this. I will say it's about this time starting last year and around like Oscar times of last year where I really figured out that I have lost a little bit of touch with kind of like what moviegoers want these days. So the things that are being praised and really popular, winning all kinds of crazy awards, I'm kind of finding myself not really connecting with them like before. Used to, I would, even movies that were praised and awarded, I would like, hey, I like these too. These are good movies. But I don't know why that is. I'm not going to try to say I know why that is. It's just, I've noticed the last 2-3 years, a lot of the bigger movies that are being talked about in award season, I'm just kind of not connecting with them, I guess is the only way to put it. And I just connected with Wolfman. I thought it was just a simple little monster movie.
I mean, I think on the one hand, there was a lot of hype for Wolfman. Like, I don't remember if at the time it was being teased as like part of Universal Monster like universe rebirth, but it was very hyped up at the time. The trailer was cut very well, and I remember like the horror community was very excited about it at the time. And I mean, I was just excited. I'm like, hey, Christopher Abbott's in it, I'm in. I don't care. Yeah. Like, I like Julia Garner as well. So I'm not worried about the two of them. And I didn't really come into it with sort of an expectation of very much. I will say I had sort of my own internal sort of compass for like what I like about werewolf movies. And my experience with werewolf film genre, like specifically the look of a werewolf, where this movie, I feel like that was probably the thing that was the most off-putting for me, was like, I just didn't like the werewolf design. Okay. But that being said, I don't think it's a bad creature design. I think it's I think it's like not a werewolf design that I like. And those are like two different things.
No,
like,
I get it. Yeah.
You know, he almost looks like the dude in RoboCop that gets melted with toxic waste. Right.
Ooh.
So like you get kind of like, I mean, like the prosthetics work is very good. Like looks gross and unsettling, and I wouldn't want that dude in the house with me. Right. So like I understand, like, it's meant to make me feel uncomfortable. I'm curious, though, because this is titled Wolfman, I feel that comes with like a large burden of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what the disease is translated to. It's Face of the Wolf. Right. Something like that. I think if the movie is like titled differently, you sort of sidestep a lot of those expectations about
that's a good
what
point.
It is supposed to be. And if it's like, if I treat it like a monster movie that isn't necessarily this monster movie and the Wolfman kind of, I don't want to say brand, but like the history of the character, then I think like it succeeds at being a very sort of like gross, creepy, monster movie with a gross monster that upsets me to look at. And I feel like that is the intent. But yeah, do you feel like the burden of like Wolfman is very specific? Because I mean, you go back to the original Universal monster series, like you're kind of like toying with like a legendary idea, and so to stray from that, I can understand people like being upset with that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's what kind of why I enjoyed it so much, is I'm not beholden to the old school Universal monsters. I like them. I didn't grow up watching them. I came to them later. And I love Dracula. I do love the original Wolfman. I am a huge Frankenstein lover. That's probably the one that I will get craggy about when they try to make Frankenstein movies and the Frankenstein monster or things like that don't go the way I want them. That's my favorite novel of all time. So
you don't like sexy
story.
Frankenstein?
No. I'm sure you got people lined up to do that movie. I haven't seen it yet, but the Bride, right? Or was that what, isn't it called The Bride?
I mean, Christian Bale is kind of like sexy, but I mean, he looks gross, but it's still Christian Bale. I was talking about Del Toro's Frankenstein with, you get Jacob and Laurie.
I saw that in theaters too, and I don't remember a thing about it. Oh no. Oh. I see, I'm talking about Benicio del Toro. You're talking about
yeah, that was Wolfman.
I'm sorry, man. It's long day. Yeah, no, I love Guillermo's Frankenstein. No, of course, yeah. But see, I went into this movie not really, it has to be this way, it has to be that way, or anything like that at all. But so I think that helped. And you make a good point of the difference between a wolf man creature design and a creature design. That's a very good way to put it, because I like the fact that they went more humanistic kind of, and it was a slow change. It was different. It's never going to be better than A Werewolf in London, or my favorite werewolf movie is The Howling. Dante's The Howling from 81. That's my all-time favorite one. Both of those are like, I don't think you can ever beat those, ever. So don't even try. Do your own thing. And I think Wanell kind of did that with this.
Yeah.
Where he didn't just show a whole scene where he changed it into a wolf. He went slowly. And it goes with the themes of, you have a loved one dying of a disease and you lose his connection with them. You can't communicate. It's a whole great theme in the movie that I loved, kind of teasing out of it. But yes, that definitely hurt the movie, because they're if you put the name Wolfman on it, it's going to have expectations. So for others, that's why I guess I understand them from that angle, and that's fine. But for me, I didn't have that going into it. I just wanted to see, we talk all the time how starved I am for good horror this decade. I just think it's been the worst ever. But so anytime I get something that is just a nice, just a good horror movie, just quality, I cherish it. that's why. And then it goes with, like I said, the score and the sound design, which, man, the sound design in this movie did some things that was amazing. Like the whole spider on the wall, that was incredible. Yeah. So it was just, like I said, I love sound. I love sound design when it comes to horror and score. Just great tension in the score of the scene where you first get a glimpse of the Wolfman. It's running behind them. They're running up to the house for the first time. Great werewolf chasing. Loved it. That was great.
Thank you for checking out this preview episode of Bad Movie Futures. We started with 2024 films, and the goal is to keep doing these new movies at least once a month, because there are always new movies in the worst of the year crosshairs. So if the shoe fits, I'm happy to wear it. You can sign up for the members-only tier by clicking on the link in the show notes or going to badmovieswelove.captivate.fm/support. I hope to see you soon.